In the day's other headlines, a federal judge today ordered the Trump administration to stop construction of its $400 million White House ballroom project. District Judge Richard Leon sided with a preservationist group that called for further reviews and input from Congress. In his opinion, the judge wrote that Trump is the steward of the White House, not its owner, and that, quote, no statute comes close to giving the president the authority he claims to have. But the judge also delayed enforcement of his order for 14 days and acknowledged that the administration is likely to appeal. Also today, a separate federal judge ruled that President Trump's executive order that barred federal funding for NPR and PBS is unconstitutional. Judge Randolph Moss said the order violated those groups' First Amendment rights. While PBS and NPR leadership both celebrated today's decision, the ruling will likely have little effect on their immediate financial health. That's because the Republican-controlled Congress voted to claw back the roughly $500 million in annual funding last year. Still, it could allow Congress to provide future money should it choose to do so. Turning overseas, a group of 12 top European diplomats visited Ukraine today to mark 4 years since Russia's massacre in the town of Bucha outside Kyiv. They placed candles on a memorial to honor the more than 400 people who were killed there. Russia invaded Bucha early on in its war, now in its fifth year. In Russia today, thick smoke rose from an oil storage facility at a port in the Baltic Sea near St. Petersburg. Ukraine has targeted energy infrastructure in that area for the past week. A Kremlin spokesperson downplayed the strikes and vowed to respond.
All critical facilities important to Russia's transport infrastructure are being protected. If airspace is being made available for hostile terrorist activity against Russia, this obliges us to draw the appropriate conclusions and take appropriate measures.
Ukrainian officials are hoping their long-range drone strikes in the region will prevent Moscow from profiting off its oil exports amid global concerns over energy supplies brought on by the Iran war. In Gaza, health officials say two Israeli airstrikes killed at least 5 people today. Palestinians in Khan Yunis mourned a father and his 2-year-old son who died in one of the strikes. Israel has not yet commented on either incident. Meanwhile, in central Gaza, a chaotic and emotional scene as a group of 11 toddlers were reunited with their families. They had been evacuated as premature newborns back in late 2023 amid violence brought on by the Israel-Hamas war. One father described his reunion as, quote, the most important moment of his life.
Our feelings are indescribable. She is my first daughter, but our feelings are mixed with pain because of the reality we live in. We hope our children's future will not be filled with the tragedy or suffering they face at the beginning of their lives.
A total of 31 premature babies had been evacuated to Egypt. Doctors say 4 died after arriving, though the fate of the others remains unknown. An update now on a story we brought to you last night. A Russian tanker carrying more than 700,000 barrels of oil arrived in Cuba today. It is the first such delivery in 3 months, and it's expected to provide up to 10 days of Cuba's energy needs. The Trump administration allowed the vessel to proceed despite an ongoing oil blockade of the island. That blockade has led to a series of blackouts and further crippled the country's economy. Despite this delivery, the White House says it has not changed its broader policy towards Cuba. A panel of high-level U.S. officials voted today to exempt offshore oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico from rules related to the Endangered Species Act. The decision came at the request of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who cited a threat to U.S. energy production during the ongoing war with Iran. Critics say the move could threaten a rare whale species and harm other kinds of marine life. The panel is chaired by the Interior Secretary, and it's commonly called the God Squad because its actions can decide whether a species lives or dies. NASA has begun its 24-hour countdown to humanity's first flight to the moon in more than half a century. After weeks of fuel leaks and other glitches, officials say Artemis II is finally set to launch tomorrow night from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. At a press event today, weather experts said the odds of a favorable condition tomorrow are at a promising 80%.
Weather has been a nuanced thing for us at times here in the generation phase of this mission. But again, look outside right now, great weather. There's nothing here that is screaming a no-go for the entirety of the window for any one of these attempts.
The four astronauts of the Artemis crew are set to become the first lunar visitors since Apollo 17 back in the early 1970s. But they won't land on the moon's surface or even orbit it. Instead, they'll zip past the moon's far side and then head back to Earth in a trip that's planned to last less than 10 days. On Wall Street today, stocks surged amid hopes for an end to the Iran war. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped more than 1,100 points. The NASDAQ added nearly 800 points, or almost 4%. The S&P 500 posted its biggest gain since last May. And we have a unique passing of note. Sugar, the surfing dog, has died. The mixed-breed rescue pup from Huntington Beach, California, was a five-time dog surfing world champion and the first canine inducted into the Surfers Hall of Fame. Wearing a life jacket, she often rode solo, but sometimes alongside her owner, Ryan Rustin. Sugar also spent time comforting veterans as a therapy dog. The city of Huntington Beach called her a local legend whose impact reached far beyond the shoreline. Sugar, the surfing dog, was 16 years old. Still to come on the NewsHour, communities rebrand Cesar Chavez Day following sexual assault allegations against the late labor leader. Pardons and prediction markets raise questions about who's making money during the Trump presidency. And the next stage for the Washington National Opera after its departure from the Kennedy Center.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, headquarters of PBS News.